Hello and welcome to today's episode of 2020 Woman Lead Podcast. I'm the host of the episode, Anna Liu. In today's podcast, we invite Mingxu Zhao, the CEO and co-founder of Proven Skincare, a company that using AI technology to analyze your skin and customize your personal skin products. Ming has over a decade of experience in business strategy, investing, and business development. She graduated from MBA Harvard Business School and have profound international working experience in the US, Austria, China, and India. Ming and her co-founder invented Proven Uniskin Genome Project, which based on 27 of your skin, lifestyle, regimen, and environment you live to customize your personal skincare products. Winners of MIT AI Technology of the Year Award, the Skin Genome Project has analyzed over 1,100 products, 8 million of testimonials, and 4,000 scientific articles. I had a great time talking with Ming that I can't wait to share her experience and thinking as a woman founder in technology industry. So let's listen to it.
Welcome to 2020 Women Lead Podcast. 为了迎接2020年，每月20号20分钟，让我们一起认识一位科技女性的故事，学习她们如何创新、挑战现况，勇于开创属于自己的路。
Hi, Ming. Nice to meet you.
Great to meet you, Anna.
Can you tell us about your product, service, or technique?
Yeah, so I'm Ming. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Proven Skincare. We create personalized skincare products that are based on more than 47 factors about a person, from their heritage to their style of life to their environment, down to the level of pollution in their environment.To the level of UV exposure they're exposed to, even including the hardness of the water that they drink and wash their face with every day. And all of our products are made in the USA, and they are made together with a leading Stanford dermatologist and are made based on the largest database in beauty in the world, which we created in-house.
That's really cool.So can you tell us about your motivation to start your business and also your motivation to keep going every day?
Yeah, that's a good question. So for me, when I've always loved skincare as a category, as a consumer, as someone who loves taking care of my skin, but I always felt like it was an industry that was behind in innovation. And I couldn't figure out why that is. But it was just very frustrating that,you know, now I can use my phone to book a car to pick me up, and AI is advancing humans in such a way. However, skincare as a category, which I love, is stuck like 50 years behind. Many of my friends and girlfriends felt the same way. So for me, it was simply time to bring this industry into the current times. Best way to do that is to make a change yourself, because the big beauty companies weren't going to do it without prompting.
Yeah. So Proven collects a range of information about skin information that users can utilize. What is one or two misconceptions that you found people have about beauty product and would love to convey through Proven?
Yeah, so for us, we build the largest database in beauty, which we call the Skin Genome Project. It encompasses more than 20 million consumer testimonials and reviews, as well as thousands of scientific journal articles and papers that there is, basically all the scientific studies there are about skin.And from this, we have learned some interesting things, such as that, you know, the more expensive the skincare product, the better ingredients or the better reviewed it is. Or just because we all have the same skin concerns, let's say it is anti-aging or hyperpigmentation, that we should all be using the same products. Or that biggest things affecting us is just what we want to resolve. In fact, the environment has a more than a 60% impact on what our skin needs on a day-to-day basis.
So I read your article about there are too many beauty products in women's cabinets. Can you explain more about your thinking of current beauty industry? And does it affect you design your company future products?
Yeah, we absolutely believe that is true, that people are made to believe that they need all these things that they don't actually need, that actually don't serve them well. And it's very bad for people's skin because, you know, every product comes with a slew of ingredients that even though many of them can be good, there are ingredients when you put too many on your skin will have a negative effect. Also, it's really bad for the environment because of all the packaging, all the waste that is created. So many people, women in particular, have what we call one-use wonders in their cabinets, which are products that they, you know, thought would be great for them. They try it and it's not good, but it's too expensive for them to throw out. So it's just sitting there because they feel bad and it's just reminding them of the money that they wasted, the time that they wasted, the hope that they lost. So our philosophy is certainly to both be better for the environment, be better for people's skin, and actually just when you know, and this is part of the philosophy of our dermatology advisor, Dr. Homig, who was the head of dermatology at Stanford University, is that when you know exactly what your skin needs, when the products that the skin needs can be tailored and personalized to you, then we can give you exactly what your skin needs and nothing more. So that's why it's a 3-product regimen. These are all multifunctional products where one product takes the place of many so that you don't have to have a cupboard full of unnecessary products and so that you can apply only the things that your skin needs and are helpful for your skin health and none that are not.
Yeah, I think that's a really good concept for skincare. It's like a food, like have a customized, some healthy food for your body and the skin is the same.
Absolutely.
So how do you see Pruvan being used in different regions? How about Asia?
Yeah, you know, Asia is definitely on the top of my mind, both because the co-founders, both myself and Amy, who is the computational physicist, both of us are of Asian descent. And we also, you know, we also know that, you know, skincare is very important for Asian women, to be honest. Also, the level of environmental pollution is quite high and impacts people pretty heavily in the greater Asia area. And so we do want to bring our skincare products, which we believe to be the most scientifically advanced, to that area so that we can serve people in Asia as well.
Yeah, I think Asians really worry about skincare. There are so many skincare products in there. So I think it would be a good opportunity for you to join the Asian market. In general, beauty industry has more female entrepreneurs than technology industry.
Yeah.
And you and your co-founder are like a combination of both. Is there any challenges of any difference compared to your experience in the past?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, technology and consumer entrepreneurs at the same time, you know, because Pruvan, we would say that we're actually a data and technology company that also happens to sell consumer products. So as female founders that are technology entrepreneurs first, you know, our skin genome project, our database, actually won us MIT's AI Technology of the Year Award last year. So as, you know, and technology entrepreneurs and as female founders, you know, we do feel that there is sort of this sometimes disbelief like, oh, you know, you're 2 female founders starting a skincare line. That makes sense. Wait, but you're saying that there's AI involved and there's technology involved. That must just be you trying to use a hot keyword or trying to use out those words when you don't know what they mean or where they're not really applied. So that is something that we do have to combat. At the same time, there is an unfortunate truth that a lot of companies, even beauty companies, do like to use the hot keywords of AI or data or personalization without actually having any backing and actually real usage for any of those elements. So you know, some skepticism, I guess, is warranted because there is a lot of rampant misuse or overrepresentation of those elements.
Yeah, I see. Can you describe about your leadership style?
Yeah, you know, that's something that I think I am learning on the go, and I don't really know how better to do that. You know, I try to read books about it. I try to read about great leaders, great entrepreneurs, how they built their companies. But, you know, the beginning parts are always murky, right? It's like once you have a successful company, you're like, okay, so this is how I do it. This is you. Then it starts to make sense. But when you're trying to make something work, it's basically just, all right, let's just try all these things, try to gather some like-minded people that you know, that you believe in, who believe in you, to try to cobble something together. And we're still in that phase. So I would say my leadership style is one where I am tirelessly willing to experiment. I am willing to learn from the best and change course if necessary. And I am very keen on development. So sort of this concept of growth mindset. I believe for us as a young company, we need to have a growth mindset so that we can get better and better. Same thing for myself as a leader, same thing for my team members as they're in whatever function they're in, so that we collectively are getting better every day at what we do.
Yeah, it's really hard. Leadership is just keep learning and growing. It's a really big challenge.
It is, absolutely. I don't think anybody really, you know, figures it out, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just people relations, you know? And it's not like anybody gets to a level where they're like, I know exactly how to deal with people. Everybody is different. So the way that you treat and, you know, manage or, you know, are led by somebody is, as people change, it's always going to be changing. So it's going to be a constant learning journey.
Yeah, yeah, that's absolutely. So if you can restart your business, what would you change?
It's a hard question to answer because we have learned a lot in this journey. And I think both Amy and I would say that we have actually become better leaders through all the lessons and the mistakes we've made. So I don't know if it'd be fair to say that we could just start over and, you know, just do everything better. But, you know, let's say if we were to start a similar company again in a couple of years, well, one huge advantage is that we've now already built around us a strong circle of knowledge team members that we can call upon to basically do, you know, to do another, let's say, consumer or tech-enabled consumer company with us that would probably save years of time. So that is something that, you know, we're very lucky to have.
Yeah. So, and also, I know you are a mom now, yeah, right? And as a mom entrepreneur, what are some of the challenges you are facing, and how do you overcome the challenge?
Yeah, so I think that's another one where it's not something that you just overcome and it's done with.
I know.
I think having a company is a very all-consuming kind of choice where you want to spend all your time on this company, all your mental capacity, all your energy, all your thought process, etc. And having a baby is the same. You know, you want to spend all your energy investing into taking care of your human baby. So at times, these two things are conflicting because you want to do the best at both things. But, you know, the surprising thing for me as both a mom and a founder was that there are actually things that are also quite complementary, such as sometimes the business can feel like, you know, it's just never-ending battle. So actually having my daughter to be this constant source of joy is actually a very welcomed respite sometimes, so that I can really hang out with her. Sometimes it's like a meditation where I can let my entire mind be free and rest. And so that when I go back to my work, I'm refreshed and I can start at a more unfettered brain. So there are times where my daughter is like my secret weapon.
It's like you can switch like between your works and your mom, like two different jobs, like to like release your like maybe like pressures or something.
That's right. Yeah, something like that.
That's really inspiring because I think some people, like especially women, like who has a business and also like have both occupations, they probably will feel like they have double stress on their body. But I think your mind is really like a refreshing for me. So the next question is, what is the most rewarding part of your entrepreneur journey?
Yeah, it's really rewarding to to serve our customers, I would say. You know, we see our customer list. Some of our customers have been with us since the very beginning, where when we had betas, and they've endured with us throughout our various beta trials to cut to market. Some of them write to us and tell us that we've, you know, saved their skin. So I've heard that before, but I didn't realize how wonderful it feels to learn that something that was in your head, and now you've, through the work, through the hard work that you and people around you have put in, it is now improving people's lives. That's a very powerful, very empowering feeling.
Yeah. So the last question is, what's takeaway message or advice that you would like to share with the audience, especially women in STEAM in Asia?
Yes, absolutely. I think the biggest piece of advice I would share, and it's kind of like one and a half advice. They're kind of related to each other. So it's, as you're at this stage in many of your lives, you're about to make some very important decisions that might impact the rest of your career, the rest of your working life, possibly. So as you start to make those decisions, as you get into the process of trying to decide among different options, etc., that I would advise you to understand what is a decision that you're making out of fear, or what decision you're making out of fear, versus what is a decision you're making out of your true desire. At the end of the day, your true desires, the things that you always naturally inclined yourself to, whether that is art or whether that is sports, whether that's STEAM or some esoteric element in computer science, like my co-founder, she's a computational physicist. Whatever it might be, just respect that. Respect the elements in yourself that makes you who you are, and try to not make decisions out of fear, because sooner or later, it could be a short period of time, it could be a long period of time, decisions that are made out of fear will catch up to you and you might regret them. So, and life is long, and it's entirely possible to enjoy what you do. It's entirely possible to enjoy your work. And this is something that I didn't realize before. You know, I had in my past done many different jobs that you would call prestigious. I was a consultant. I was in private equity. I went to Harvard Business School. I've done a lot of the so-called prestigious things, but I've never really truly enjoyed any of them. And it wasn't until I became an entrepreneur that I, even though I tell you that there are a lot of difficulties, there are a lot of, every day is difficult. Every day is an uphill battle. Every day is filled with anxiety. But nevertheless, I've never enjoyed myself as much as in this role, as much as any role, despite all the big names, whatever I gathered, because that was never right for me. And even when I was doing those jobs, I knew that, but I didn't, at that time, I didn't have the courage to make the change until later on, until, you know, recently. So if you know what you want to do, my advice is to find the way to make that happen for yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good advice. Yeah, and thank you so much, Ming. I have a really great time to talk to you.
Same here, Anna. It's really been enjoyable. Thank you for your thoughtful questions. All the best to you. Thank you, Anna. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to 2020 Women Lead Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Liu. In today's interview, Ming has shared her journey of being an entrepreneur and a leader. Also, her thinking of current AI and beauty industries. This precious experience and advice inspire me a lot. I really respect the constantly learning and growing attitude Ming has. For the next month, we will invite General Motors Senior Quality Assurance Program Lead, Lisa Lee. If you would like to know more about stories of women in technology industry, don't forget to listen to our podcast on the 20th of each month. See you next month.